Welcome to the November IASB podcast, bringing you the updates from our latest board meeting. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director at the IASB, and joining me today are Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Rika Suzuki, one of our IASB members. So we've just finished the November 2024 board meeting, where we discussed three projects. In this episode, we will discuss the Management Commentary Project and the IFRS Accounting Taxonomy. In addition, we'll very quickly touch on a consultation that we recently started related to our provisions project. So Andreas, can we kick things off with you giving us a bit of background on Management Commentary generally and the project itself?
Management Commentary is a general purpose financial report that is required in many jurisdictions, in addition to an entity's financial statements and, increasingly, sustainability-related information. It is known under various names, including MD&A, Operating Financial Review, Strategic or Management Report. While IFRS standards don't require companies to prepare management commentary, many securities regulators require such a report. The Management Commentary Project aims to significantly improve the way companies report on their performance, strategy, and prospects through enhanced management commentary. This narrative report provides essential context that goes beyond the numbers in the financial statements. Our project seeks to make management commentary more useful for investors by focusing on the key factors that drive a company's ability to create value and generate cash flows over the short, medium, and long term. The ultimate goal is a more cohesive and insightful narrative that complements the financial statements and other information in general purpose financial reports, giving investors a clearer and more complete picture of a company's overall health and future potential. It also codifies innovations in reporting, including concepts from the IFRS Foundation's Integrated Reporting Framework, in a set of standard-like requirements that provides a comprehensive resource for regulators and companies that supports investor-focused best practice.
Thanks, Andreas. So just to refresh everyone's memory, to meet the objectives that Andreas, you just described, the IASB issued an exposure draft in 2022 proposing a comprehensive overhaul of the guidance in the Management Commentary Practice Statement. And the reason for this is that the original guidance dates back to 2010, so it's 14 years old, and it really needed a bit of a refresh. So, Andreas, can you chat a little bit about what the IASB is doing in response to the feedback that it received on that exposure draft?
Sure. So our proposals were generally well received by stakeholders, in particular investors. So the IASB decided to finalize the project by making targeted refinements to its proposals only. Finalizing the project would also provide a stepping stone towards greater integration and reporting in the future, so something that the ISSB, our sister board, has consulted on. And in refining our proposals, the IASB is collaborating with the sister board and consulting with the Integrated Reporting and Connectivity Council.
Thanks. So in the November board meeting, the board made two key decisions. Rika, can you take us through those?
First, we refined the definition of material information, aligning it more closely with the definitions used in the conceptual framework and IFRS standards. This refinement is not changing the materiality judgment, which would still be made in the context of the objective of management commentary. And it is not changing the expected outcome of those judgments. Instead, this refinement is important for enhancing consistency across IFRS literature. Conceptually aligned definition facilitate connections across an entity's general purpose financial report, preparing, applying IFRS standards. Our refinement also recognizes management commentary complements other information in general purpose financial reports and that investors don't make decisions on the basis of management commentary alone. Second, we simplified the three-tier design of disclosure objectives for areas of content by changing the assessment objectives from requirements to explanations. This refinement is designed to make the objective more workable for companies while retaining their effectiveness in providing information that investors need and to align the revised practice statement more closely with the ISB's disclosure initiative guidance.
Let me also add, Rika, that the board also discussed the proposed requirement for management commentary to focus on key matters, those fundamental to a company's ability to create value and generate cash flows. The staff outlined targeted refinements to clarify the role of the requirement to focus on key matters, including how it interacts with disclosure objectives and with the requirement to provide material information. To refine the terminology used to refer to key matters, so it may in the end be that we don't use that term key matter anymore, stay tuned, and to distinguish between the requirement to focus on key matters relating to each area of content and the requirement to provide a coherent information about various matters affecting the entity. The ISB supported the staff's suggested approach to clarify and simplify the approach in management commentary.
And here are our next steps. The staff will now incorporate the decisions and direction from ISB into the revised practice statement. We also plan to discuss further topics like areas of content, attributes of useful information, terminology, and the supporting description of ability to create value and generate cash flows at a future board meeting. This will include exploring reporting on long-term prospects, intangible resources, and ESG matters. So stay tuned. We expect to issue the revised practice statement in the first half of 2025.
Thank you both. So now let's turn to our second topic that we wanted to highlight in this episode, and that's the IFRS accounting taxonomy, and in particular, the board's discussion on the proposed updates in relation to IFRS 18 on presentation and disclosure in financial statements. So let's start off at a higher level. Andreas, could you start by explaining why is a digital taxonomy so important?
So the IFRS taxonomy is fundamental to digital financial reporting. Think of it as a structured digital dictionary of financial reporting terms. Companies use this dictionary to tag each piece of information in their financial reports with a unique computer-readable label. This tagging process is what makes a digital financial report truly digital. It transforms a static document, like a PDF, into a dynamic data source that computers can easily understand and analyze, allowing investors and other users to quickly search, compare, and analyze financial information across different companies and time periods, even if those reports are in different languages. Imagine being able to instantly compare key figures across hundreds of companies or quickly analyze trends without manual data entry. That's the power of digital financial reporting enabled by the taxonomy. Such capabilities dramatically increase efficiency and enable more sophisticated analysis, ultimately contributing to more informed decision-making and more efficient capital markets. To make this happen, each change or addition to the IFRS accounting standards requires a corresponding taxonomy project to ensure the standards are represented effectively in a digital format.
Thanks, Andreas. So then, Rika, could you explain why the taxonomy is particularly important to IFRS 18?
IFRS 18 introduces a new structure for the statement of profit or loss to improve comparability across companies. IFRS 18 also introduces, for example, disclosure requirements for management-defined performance measures. The changes the ISB intends to make to the taxonomy due to IFRS 18 are expected to further these benefits from a paper-based format to a digital setting by improving comparability and accessibility of information. The proposed taxonomy modeling will, for example, enable users of digital data to understand the category of an item of income and expenses in the statement of profit or loss, meaning operating, investing, or financing. This is expected to reduce the need for users of financial statements to rely on data providers to provide normalized data. The proposed taxonomy modeling will also enable disclosures such as those related to management-defined performance measures, to be consistently tagged in detail, which facilitates computer readability of such data.
Thanks, Rika. Definitely good benefits in our technological environment. So maybe we go back or we go down into the details about what specifically happened in November.
In November, the ISB finished discussions from its October meeting. In October, the ISB discussed the comment letter feedback on the taxonomy proposals, as well as the findings from our first taxonomy field exercise. We really appreciate the comment letters and engagement by fieldwork participants. Thank you so much. In November, the ISB made decisions about how to model the presentation and disclosure requirements in IFRS 18 based on the feedback we received. In particular, the ISB decided to reflect the presentation requirement for the statement of profit or loss in IFRS 18 by reflecting the category of an item in the element label and to include in the taxonomy detailed modeling for the disclosure requirements relating to NPMs and specified expenses by nature. The staff will now incorporate these decisions into the IFRS taxonomy update, and we expect to issue the final taxonomy in March 2025.
So let's move on to our final topic. It's actually not something we discussed in the November board meeting, but we wanted to flag an exposure draft that we published on provisions. This is a project that is intended to make targeted improvements to IAS 37, provisions, contingent liabilities, and contingent assets. We published the exposure draft on the 12th of November, and it's open for comment until the 12th of March, 2025. So, Andreas, can you tell us a little bit more about how this project came about?
Absolutely. Stakeholders have told us that IAS 37 generally works well in practice and doesn't need fundamental review. However, they have identified problems with some aspects of the standard, most notably when to record provisions for some types of obligations, such as levies, and how to measure long-term provisions, specifically what rates to use to discount those provisions to their present value. Our goal with the proposals in the exposure draft is to help companies in applying the requirements more consistently and providing investors with more useful information, enabling investors to make better assessments of the company's future cash flows. The proposals in the exposure draft would most likely be relevant for companies that have long-term asset decommissioning obligations or are subject to levies or similar government-imposed charges.
Before we conclude our podcast, I wanted to put Rika on the spot. Rika, this is your first podcast with us. Thank you so much for joining us. And recently, we celebrated your five-year anniversary at the board. Now, I've really enjoyed working with you over the past 5 years. Obviously, your accounting brilliance is amazing, but in the corridors and outside of the office, I've enjoyed talking to you about the 70 books that you've read in 2024 alone, your favorite Japanese restaurants, your favorite operas, and so much more. So my question to you is, what is your favorite thing about the IFRS Foundation?
Neely, thank you very much for your kind words. That's pretty much encouragement to me. I love this foundation because its diversity and inclusiveness. Since we are an international organization, diversity and inclusiveness are integral to the foundation to achieve its mission. We care and respect each other as professional members, which enable us to develop high-quality global standards with our diverse stakeholders. Because our foundation comprises people from many countries, we can embrace diverse views from our stakeholders with various cultural and business backgrounds and find fair and balanced solutions.
Thank you, Rika. And
you live that
and exemplify that every day. Fair and balanced solutions. So that concludes our November IASB podcast. Thank you all for listening and stay tuned for next month.